Some time ago, I gave you the general overview of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, because sometimes it helps us to listen once or twice, of what we have learned. I'm going to review before I get into my sermon today. I told you that there is a Hebrew scripture commonly known as the Old Testament that has three parts. The first part in Hebrew word called Torah. We heard of it many a time. Torah, it's a Hebrew, its meaning is instruction, or known as the Law of Moses. Torah has five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So if you open the Bible, the first five books in the Old Testament are known as Torah. The second part is called Nevim. Once again, that's Hebrew word for prophets. God has spoken to us through many prophets. So the Nevim contains all the prophetic books such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And also the last part of the Hebrew scripture we call Ketuvim, meaning writings. That contains Psalms, Proverbs, and Job, and Chronicles, and so forth. Now these three parts in the Hebrew scripture are arranged according their importance. Of course, God's law is most important, so they always come in the front, and followed by the prophets and followed by the writings. And today I'm going to talk about Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, God's law. However, within 20 minutes, I cannot cover even one single book in detail. So what I'm going to focus on, I'm going to focus on the Ten Commandments. Because the spirit of Torah is the Ten Commandments. Or David read Decalogue, that's another wonderful Greek word for Ten Commandments. So if you squeeze down the Torah, you will get the Ten Commandments. Now I'm going to just squeeze further down the Ten Commandments, what you get. The love of God and the love of neighbor. So if you remember these things, you got what I'm going to trying to say this morning. There are some people out there today, Christians and non-Christians alike, feel that the Ten Commandments are a killjoy. They believe these Ten Commandments spoil their fun and keep them under the control of the church. As a matter of fact, there was one high school friend of mine surely felt that way. We are talking about 40-some years ago. We both attended the same church. One day he and I were talking. He told me that he would quit going to church when I just started going to church. So I was puzzled and I asked him why, and this is what he said. I don't like rules and regulations imposed on me either by God or by the Bible or by the church. Those rules and regulations mean, he continued, that I have to miss out all the fun in my life, enslaved to God and the church, and would never have freedom in my life. Well, back then I didn't have a good answer to his reasoning. Eventually, my friend left the church, and to my knowledge, he has not come back yet. But such a notion and misunderstanding that God's word keeps us in bondage is a devil's lie. It's exactly the opposite of the reason why God has given us the Ten Commandments. I want you to know the Ten Commandments and God's law are given us not for a life of indulgence, but life within boundaries. They are given to us not for bondage or misery, as my friend felt, but for freedom and abundance. In other words, when God wants us to enjoy our lives, he wants us to do so without hurting each other. He wants us to live in true freedom in God and in perfect harmony with others. And such a life is only possible within God's boundaries. And that's what the Ten Commandments are for. Now God says that if we obey the Ten Commandments, we will be blessed by the Lord, rather than remaining under the spiritual bondage. The Ten Commandments, in my humble opinion, are God's traffic light in human life. We all drive on the road. Can you imagine? Everyone obeys the traffic law. Red light, everybody stops. Green light, everybody moves. Right? But can you imagine someone disregarding, disobeying the traffic law, go through the red light, and we all know that accident will happen. Not only the person driving through the red light hurts himself, but also hurts others. So you apply that rule to our human lives. God makes it very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 33, saying, if you obey them all, everything will go well with you. God says, obeying them all, and so that everything will go well with you. You want to go, everything in your life go well? And guess what? God says, obey my law. You see, God's law was given for our blessing rather than restrictions. God's thoughts toward us are the thoughts of peace and not of evil. Therefore, God says, I give this to you for your own good, peace and prosperity. The Ten Commandments are for our own good and to our benefit. They serve as divine boundaries for us with God and for us with our fellow human beings. They are never meant to be a bondage, a burden. So keep that in mind as we go over the underlying spirit of the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to explain to you a little more how it has changed over time, the spirit of the Ten Commandments, and what it means to us today. Now, scholars believe that the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses first and to the people of Israel between 14th century to 12th century before Christ, during the Exodus. Let's take a look at the time of Moses. To understand the underlying spirit of the Ten Commandments, we need to look at how they are structured. That's why I highlighted in your bulletin all these bolded. There are the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to read it to you in my own words. Number one is this: you shall have no gods before me. Number two, you shall not make any kind of idol of anything nor worship them. Number three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number four, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Have you noticed that these four commandments are centered on our relationships with God? God strictly commanding us not to do four things and one thing to do, right? The other six, of course, are boundaries for our relationships with each other. Number five says, honor your parents. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Number ten, you shall not covet anybody or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I hope by now you notice that the first four commandments represent the vertical relationship between God and us. And the six commandments show the horizontal relationship among people. The first four can be summarized in one sentence in Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The rest of the six are also summarized in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, says, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord. Love God and love our neighbors are the foundation and the underlying principles of the Ten Commandments. That was how it started. Now you move timetable another, 1500 years at the time of Jesus. Such divine principles surely became distorted and corrupt over time, like anything else. Over the centuries, many human-made traditions and rules were added to God's law. So much so that by the time of Jesus, it became almost impossible to remember and follow and keep. Furthermore, the human tradition and the blind faithfulness to the law choked the free and loving spirit of the Ten Commandments. Here's one example. One day, Jesus was in the synagogue, right? And he healed a man with shriveled hand, somehow withered hand, then Jesus, you know, straightened up. And thing is that it happened to be a Sabbath, day of Sabbath. So when the religious leaders saw that happening, they accused Jesus of working on the Sabbath because they considered, you know, healing work. Therefore, a clear violation of the Sabbath law. But this is how Jesus answered them. He says, what if one of you has a sheep and it falls into a deep hole on the Sabbath? Will he not take hold of it and lift it out? You're going to wait until the next day? No. And Jesus says, a man, a person is worth much more than a sheep. So then, our law, whenever you read the law, in Jesus' words, you mean that Torah. Okay, Torah. Our law does allow us to help someone on the Sabbath. Jesus concludes the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was trying to restore them, bring them back to the underlying spirit of Torah. Free people up. Okay, it's for freedom. Now I'm moving to the 21st century now. What about in the 21st century? My question is, are the Ten Commandments still relevant in the American society? It does not look that way. Here's the proof. 90% of the Americans claim that they believe in God, yet they do not seem to take the Ten Commandments very seriously. There was a book published in 1991, a little bit old, entitled The Day America Told the Truth, written by James Patterson and Peter Kim. The book shows more and alarming statistics like this. Only 13% of Americans believe in all, the key word is all, Ten Commandments. In marriage, 31% of married couples are having or have had an affair, 3 out of 10 people. Concerning telling the truth, most workers admit to goofing off for about 7 hours a week out of 40 hours. And almost half say that they regularly call in sick when they are not. Concerning honesty, 2/3 of college students admitted that they have cheated in their tests at least once. 91% of us lie regularly at work and at home. And concerning murder, 7% say that for $2 million, they would commit murder. The Ten Commandments have been fast losing their impact on the average American's life. You know, we pray for the school shooting and so gun control and whatnot. Let me tell you this. All I wish is the person whoever killed the people to remember the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. You can give me 10 guns. I have no use for it. You see, because in my heart, God has me, you know, convicted that you shall not murder. That's all we need in America. So the question is, how did we get here? And why did it happen? What made the influence of the Ten Commandments disappear rather quickly in America, which once was called a Christian nation? No more, folks. I can think of a couple of reasons. The first one is this. The rampant spread of relativism. Everything is relative in today's society. Therefore, there is no absolute truth. Therefore, even God's word is no longer accepted as absolute truth. I must have recognized some 30 years ago in my seminary days, I was taking a preaching class. Each student had to come up with their own, you know, topic to preach in front of the professor as well as, you know, the peers. For some reason, I chose the topic of pornography. I still remember the title of my sermon, Pornography is More Than an Addiction, It's a Sin. That's what I said. Why pornography is a sin? You may wonder. Because when you do the pornography, what happens in your brain? You covet. You just envy and you have lust for this body, woman's body, man's body, whatever. In this process of doing it, what do? Committing adultery. That's why I called it, I named my sermon, it's a sin. Well, after hearing my sermon, the professor of the preaching, he says, Mr. Choi, I would be very careful to call and using the word sin. And I was puzzled. I didn't coin this word sin. I was just repeating what the Bible says. God said it. But professor said, don't use it. And there's the reason, he says, because not everyone sitting in the pews would agree with you. Again, his point of view is that, well, I'm afraid what you think of me, therefore I am not going to say it offends you. Relativism. But I said, what happened to God's word? Anyway, rampant spread of the relativism. That's one thing. Also equally responsible was humanism that rejects God, supernatural beliefs, or even divine teaching. What is humanism? Humanism regards human reason as superior to anything else, even to God and His Word. And this rampant spread of humanism caused a serious damage to the Christianity, to our faith and practice. The arrogance of humanism and the overconfidence in human reason, along with its glorification, surely contributed to people's mass exodus from the church. Have you noticed that? People just leave the church. They feel like, why do I need the church? Mass exodus from the fear of God and mass exodus from the awesomeness of God. So what's the result? Disrespect and disregard of the Ten Commandments. So what does all this change in the 21st century mean to you and me, the believers? It means that we are living in a very tough time, folks. May I call a time of hostility against God? You know, it always puzzled me how in the world some people would hate God. But you heard it in today's word. Those folks who hate God, and even in the New Testament, there will be in the end times God haters. And I thought, how can anyone could hate God? But obviously some people. We are living in a time of hostility against God and His Word and even against His people. You know, one of the things that Jesus repeatedly warned us in the end times is that people will hate you because of the faith you have in me. I always wondered, really? But it seems like it's coming if it's not already on us. Anti-Christian. I mean, we're so afraid of opening up our mouth and saying the word Jesus or the gospel. Now, this is what we need to do. We must remember what Jesus said about Torah, God's law. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Once again, whenever you read the word law in the New Testament, it means the Torah. He says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He also said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So what does it tell you? We must defend God's word with confidence and courage. We shouldn't be ashamed of keeping the Ten Commandments in this adulterous and sinful generation. Folks, that's not my word. I'm just quoting Jesus' word. Adulterous and sinful generation. The Ten Commandments will stay strong until the end of age, if I read Jesus correctly. And by keeping them, you and I will love the Lord and love our neighbors. By obeying them, we will fulfill God's will in our lives. May God help us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Even myself, Lord, as pastor, feel scared, uncertain about the times that we are living in through. I know that time's coming real close to your return. For that, I am grateful. But at the same time, I pray for all the believers in the world. We are not just confined to America. If you look around the world, India, Pakistan, all these, North Korea and Africa, Christians are persecuted all over. For what? Simply because for one thing we call faith in you. Because they confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I pray for them, Lord, for your protection and for your peace that surpasses all understanding. I also pray for our own nation here, all the believers in Christ. When we see majority of the people abandoned the Ten Commandments, we still carry on because that's God's word, the absolute truth to us. When we obey, when we keep them, it'll help us. Yes, Lord, help our nation. Have mercy on us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.